In the first reading today, we hear about one who is known as the suffering servant. There are four songs in Isaiah called the suffering servant songs. The first is the one we heard today from chapter 42. And in this, there are a couple of points. It's the point where I keep telling you that our covenant is Jesus. The covenant is a person. God didn't make a covenant with Jesus. Jesus is the covenant. This is where it comes from. Chapter 42 and again chapter 49 says the same thing. It says, I formed you and set you as a covenant to the people, a light for the nations. And so the covenant is a person. And in baptism, you have been incorporated into the covenant. So that's an important point to understand. The other thing, though, that I want to look at today is when it talks about our Lord, again, the suffering servant, who this is going to be. And so it talks about the chosen one with whom God is pleased. And it talks about how he didn't cry out, didn't shout, didn't make his voice heard in the streets. But then it talks about a bruised reed he shall not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench. And thanks be to God. Because how many of us have to be able to look at ourselves and say, I'm the bruised reed, I'm the smoldering wick, or maybe at least at one time in my life, that was me. Just like what we hear in the gospel reading today about Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and how she takes this oil and puts it on our Lord's feet, dries it with her hair. You have Judas, who is feigning his anger about all of this. But again, you see the mercy of Jesus. We don't know because it doesn't tell us, but you look at this and you say, but wasn't there another woman who cried on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair and so on? Is this Mary the same as Mary Magdalene? You know, there are questions like this that come up. And regardless, we see is this is a woman who obviously was very broken. And she brought this to the Lord, and did an act of kindness for him. And in the face of those who would protest, he was merciful. Just as we see with the woman, whether it's the same one or not, who cried on our Lord's feet, poured out her tears and wiped them with her hair. They were saying, oh, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman this was. She's a sinner. And the Lord didn't condemn her, but rather those who were complaining about it. And that gives all of us, I think, great hope. Because which one of us isn't a sinner? Which one of us isn't broken? Which one of us, if we look at ourselves in certain areas, because of course in our pride we like to make it look like everything is in great shape, my life is wonderful, I have no problems at all, and then we look into our own heart and say, yeah, I'm a total disaster. In areas of my life, I'm still a bruised reed, I'm still a smoldering wick. I don't have the flame burning the way I'd like to, it's smoldering. And thankfully, the Lord doesn't just squish it out and say, you're a loser, get out of here. Instead, he nurses the fire back. He's merciful. That's what all of us need to recognize. We see the humanity and how we have treated not only our Lord, but to know that he is God. And we see how cruel we can be. It's something that is so deep within us that we even have little statements like, children can be so cruel. Like, how sad is that? Children can be so cruel. And they can. If that's the case, we see how deep that's within us and how cruel adults can be in our judgments, in our actions. We look at somebody who, because they're afraid that they might be found out, are willing to destroy other people in their path to keep themselves from being found out. Or to keep themselves from being exposed, they're willing to do horrible things to other people. We see the cruelty of humanity. And then we look at what we're going to be going through this week. And if we ever want to see the cruelty of humanity, it's on full display in the Passion of our Lord. And yet we see the mercy of God in the midst of that. He took on our sins. He took on our punishment. And he is not holding that against us. He's not using it to manipulate us, because he is pure charity. He did it all out of love. He is not looking for anything in return. We need to be able to look at this and say, he did this for me, what do I owe him? He's not looking at us saying, look, you owe me, look what I did for you. No, that's not what he's doing at all, because he did it all out of love, purely out of charity. But we have to then look at it and ask, what's my response? Not because I owe him something, because that's a matter of justice if that's the case, which, as a matter of justice, we owe him everything. But he's not looking for justice, because he already took care of that on the cross. He's looking for charity. The only proper way to respond to love is love. And if he did all of this out of love for us, then when you consider what a relationship of love is, it's two people who are giving and two people who are receiving. We have to be able to receive what he is giving to us. But then we have to look at ourselves and ask, how am I loving him? What am I giving to him? And granted, we can't give anywhere near what he is giving. He's God, he's infinite, he's perfect, we are not. But that's not what he's looking at. He's looking at a woman who cried on his feet. What could she give? He's looking at a woman who poured out nard on his feet, wiped his feet with her hair. What did she have to give? He's looking at the heart. He's looking at the charity. He's looking at the bruised reed and the smoldering wick and the little bit that they could do. And he blesses them for that. And so when you and I come before him in our brokenness, in our patheticness, he's not going to say, get away from me. He's not going to say, you didn't do enough. He's going to receive what you are able to give. So now it's for us simply to look within our own selves and ask the question, am I really giving what I am able? In my brokenness, is this what I'm able to do? Or am I being selfish and I'm only giving a little bit when I could give a lot more? That's the disposition we have to look at. He will receive what we are willing to give. We have to be willing to look at ourselves and say, am I responding to love as love has given himself to me? Am I receiving his love and responding in like manner to the degree of my ability? He's not expecting you're going to love him perfectly as he loves you, because he knows you can't. But he is going to expect that we will love him as perfectly as we can, because that's the proper response to the love that is being given. But it has to start with the reception. Because sometimes if we see that we're bruised and we're broken, we think we're unlovable, and therefore we refuse to receive his love, because we don't think that we are worth it, or that we're not worthy of it. Love is a gift, not a reward. It's not a matter of justice. And so no, we're not worthy of it, because we didn't do something to earn it. It is a gift, and it needs to be received as such. So that's what he's offering. As we go through this week, keep that in mind. Look at his disposition of pure charity toward you. And then ask yourself as we go through this, what's my disposition toward him? Can I receive what he's giving? As brutally as we treated him, look at him. Don't look at what we did to him. Look at him and how he accepted it and what he did with it and continues to do with it, because he continues to love you and me. He continues to give himself completely to you and me. You're going to receive him in the Holy Communion in a few minutes. It is the entire 100% person of Jesus Christ. He's giving himself totally to you. Now we have to look at ourselves. Can I receive that? Will I receive that? And then what is my response? Am I loving as I am being loved?